Well, it's already been a great, great day in the Lord's house. It's really been a great week. Just so excited of what to be a part, really, of what the Lord's been doing here on the hill. Man, we were blessed with wonderful services last week as we were celebrating the resurrection, people coming to know the Lord as their Savior, and then the way that the Lord just used and is still using Miss Rosalie's life and her testimony to draw people under herself. And so it was truly an honor to have a part in that yesterday. I just wanted to give a quick thank you to our tech team, right? We got guys upstairs working. We got people behind the booth back here working, the praise team, the choir. Everybody's put in so much work recently. We had them working on Saturday. We had them up here getting it for the Lord on Saturday even to make that just a great service. And so I just wanted to say thank you to Denise, Gordon, everybody, the guys upstairs. Thank you for all y'all's work recently. Just a quick reminder before our missionary to Spain comes up to give us a word from the Lord this morning. A quick reminder, we will be partaking of the Lord's Supper directly following our 10 a.m. this service right now. So we'll give you about a 10-15 minute intermission. Well, there'll be 10 minutes and then a 5 minute countdown will start to let you know when to get back in. That'll give you enough time. Get upstairs, get your kids, come back down so that way the workers upstairs can partake in the Lord's Supper as well. And just again, we reminded you last time, just another reminder, the Lord's Supper is for the church, the ecclesia, as it is called in Scripture. That's a called out group of baptized believers. And so we're not going to police your children. It's up to you to decide whether they should be partaking of the Lord's Supper or not. We're not here to police that. But I would say use it as an opportunity. I had a gentleman come up to me at the last time we did it, right after service, and he said, "Man, thank you so much for that. I was able to use the elements from the Lord's Supper and talk with my daughter and give her the gospel." Right, using real-life illustrations from the Lord's Supper. And so I would encourage you to do just that. Don't shy away from those conversations, but use it to be able to carry on that conversation at home. Well, listen, man, if you missed the 9 a.m., you missed it. It was awesome to hear about what the Lord's been doing. We've been blessed to have a small, small part in the Ruesgas and what the Lord's been doing through them in Mexico and then now in Spain. And so maybe he'll have time. I don't know. He's Baptist at heart. He's probably going to burn all that time up, but maybe he'll have time to share a little bit of what the Lord's been doing. Adolfo, you come. Would you please welcome our missionary to Spain, Adolfo Ruesga.
It's bright. Good morning. It is great to be here with you guys. And I don't know if you remember us. We were here 7.5 years ago, and we had our full family here, Kevin, Amanda, and Katie. And a few years ago, we went to our sending church. It was 2018. And I remember talking to my pastor, and he said, "Do you know that in 10 years, your family is going to be completely different?" And he was right. Kevin is getting married next month, and Amanda's now in school, and Katie decided to stay in Raleigh in this trip, but that's cool because I get to be with my wife. So I'm glad to be here and seeing you guys. I just want to say thank you very, very much for your faithful partnership through all these years. You partnered with us when we were in Mexico, and God did amazing things. That church is still going strong by the grace of God, and you guys have a part of that. People are getting saved, baptized, people are getting discipled, and they're starting other churches, they're taking mission trips, they're supporting missionaries, and you guys have a part in that. Thank you very much. Now we're in Spain. I want to be talking a little about Spain throughout the service, but this is a complete different scenario, but they still need the Lord, and that's why we're here, and I want to share with you guys. I want to challenge you guys this morning, and you know, some people go to churches that are not their churches because I'm not your pastor, and they want to, like, destroy you and say, then I'm leaving. I don't like doing that, but I just want to encourage you. I want to challenge you because you guys have been amazing. This has been a great church. But, you know, just because your church, Battlefield Church, is involved in the work of God, that doesn't mean that you personally are. And I don't know everyone, but I want to challenge everyone to be involved in what God is doing, to have a part. You know, I know last Sunday you guys had an amazing service because it was Easter Sunday. And I think I like it, but I don't like it. I like it that in the States, you guys have Easter Sunday, it's huge, and probably around Christmas, and maybe one more. And I would like it for it to be every Sunday, amen? Every Sunday to have this place packed. I don't know how many people you can sit here, but I can imagine last week was packed. Is that right? And wouldn't you like that to be every Sunday? Because, you know, the more we participate, the more we're going to be a light outside. So today I'm going to start in this chapter. I was reading this chapter, and actually this is the first time I ever preached about this chapter, but I really, really liked it, and I've read it many, many times, but the Lord really spoke to me and encouraged me, and this is in Acts chapter 5 and verse 38 and verse 39. The Bible says, "And now I say unto you, refrain from this man and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of man, it will come to nothing. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God." And one of the last things I want to do in my life is to fight against God. Amen? Like, I want to be on God's side. So the context here, we're in Acts, and the context is that this is shortly after Jesus had been on earth, and he had spent 3.5 years with the disciples, and he had trained them, and he had like showed them all the things. They have seen all these signs and wonders, and it was amazing the time he spent with them. And then he was telling them, you know, "I'm gonna die." And I'm like, "No, you're not gonna die. You're the Messiah, you're the Lord, you're he's like, "Yeah, I'm gonna die." And it happened. And you know, he was taken that night, and it's kind of like a little embarrassing, because I think we would have done the same. He was taken like he said he would. And then we see all the disciples scatter, right? Remember that part? They scattered. And like, what happened, guys? And then he's going through very hard times in between that and being crucified. And they're basically gone. And then it got worse, because actually he was crucified and he died. And at that moment, that it is very, very, very interesting, because at that very moment, Christianity was dead for a little bit. And all of his followers were gone. Remember Peter? "I'll never." Yes, you did. But many times we have done the same. So, but at that very moment, Christianity was dead. But because God is real, amen, 3 days later, he came back from the grave. He rose. Amen? And we celebrated that last Sunday, Easter Sunday. We're celebrating Resurrection Day, and he came back. And what the devil thought it was his day is like, "Forget about it, buddy. The king is back." And Jesus came back, and his disciples were like, "No way. Yes." So they're so excited. Just picture yourself being one of them. You would be like super excited. So this is the time we're talking about. Jesus just went to the Father, and he gave them a homework. He said, "You guys now got to reproduce this. You got to go tell everybody about this, because they need salvation." So in Acts, he goes to the Father, and in Acts chapter 2, we hear the first sermon, amazing sermon, and we see thousands of people getting saved. And all kinds of things are going on, and it is amazing. So they are making their way into everywhere. Everybody's listening about the gospel, and the religious leaders, there's like, "What's going on? We don't like this." Because for them, you got to understand, this is something crazy. In their defense, it was something crazy. What Jesus did was amazing, but for them it was crazy. So this is our religious leaders saying this. But one guy said, "Okay, hold on. Hold on. What if it's true?" And they say, "You know, there's many people that have tried to start religious groups, and they have faded away. They died. And if this is the case, this Jesus thing will die too. But if it's not, if it's real, you might be fighting against God, and you definitely don't want to do that. So that is the context. And when the way God spoke to me about this passage is in Spain. Right now in Spain, it's dead. I would like to show you pictures here of last Sunday we baptized 324. But we didn't. Although I like joking. I do like joking. But I'm also a dreamer. So one of the missionaries that is working with us, very nice guy, Brett Anderson, we joke all the time. And you know, his previous work was as an engineer, and my previous work was as an engineer as well. So sometimes we're engineering stuff. And one of the things we talk about, and I gotta say, we're joking, okay? Don't get offended. We say, dude, this week I think we gotta build the water slide. It has to be high enough, because next Sunday we're gonna baptize 5,000. And doing this 5,000 times is gonna, I'm 47, it's like too much. We're just gonna slide them down. I wanna be up there and you down there or the other way around, and man, we're gonna get this thing going. And we're just daydreaming about what God is gonna do. I don't know about the water slide, but one day people will start getting baptized in Spain. Because right now, it is dead. But we serve the real God. And he's not dead. And they will get to hear about God. And who can deny the good news? They will come to Jesus. And he will make it happen. So what's happening in Spain right now is that, let me compare it to the States or to Mexico. In the States and Mexico, you have a piece of land that has been worked on for years. People have come and worked the land and planted and water and planted and water. And now, we're seeing the result. Now, we got to keep them planting and watering, amen? And that's what you guys got to do. You got to keep it or it goes down. In Spain, after so many years of darkness, it is like that piece of land has been covered with like this much of concrete. And what we have been doing this 5 years is grabbing a big hammer and breaking it down. And we're making a hole there. And we're working that little piece of land, and we're planting the seeds. And it's going to happen, little by little. And you know what gave me hope? That passage. Because when I read that passage, they were just starting. They had everything against them. But it worked. How do we know it worked? Because here we are 2,000 years later, and we are preaching about Jesus Christ. Amen? What would have happened if this guy said, No, they said no. You know, in Acts chapter 5 and 20, in verse 29, we can hear Peter's response when he said, we ought to obey God rather than man. They say, no more preaching. You're going to jail. And this was the answer. He said, God comes before man. And they did it. And because of that, you and I heard the gospel. Now, you might be here, I have never heard the gospel, and that is exactly, this is the gospel. You and I are sinners. And you and I cannot get ourselves into heaven. There's no way. And that's why Jesus died and paid for your sins and my sins. And we can accept that gift from him and have eternal life and be with him. You cannot do it by yourself. And those are the good news. That is the gospel, the good news. What he paid for you and for me, and we can have access to the Father through Jesus Christ. And that is amazing. And if you haven't done that, please don't walk out of this building today the same you walked in, the same way. It really, think about it. It makes no sense going to church every Sunday and walking in and walking out the same way. Except maybe a little pounds extra, because you guys have amazing donuts and coffee back there. But the change I'm talking about is right here. We need to walk out of church every Sunday different. And not only that, every day in our lives, we need to spend time with the Lord, getting closer and closer to Him. You know why? Because every day in our lives, this flesh wants to get closer and closer to the world. But if we spend time with Him, we get closer and closer to God. So when I read this passage, I said, praise the Lord. Because the church in this moment, when it started, had everything against it. And God said, don't worry. This is my church. Amen. And it happened. And you know what? In Spain, it is His church. And it will happen. So this is the context of this passage. And this passage just encouraged me like you have no idea. So this is what's going on. And so knowing what God is going to do that, then you can understand what's going on in Europe and Spain. It is a challenging spiritual landscape. Many of us still think that Spain is a Catholic country. And just this morning, we talked to several people that asked us that. Well, that was the case 50 years ago and back. But they were under a dictator, Franco, and he was extremely Catholic, and he forced everybody to be Catholic. So I don't know if you guys like to be forced to do anything. Well, people in Spain don't. And he had such a power that he would tell people, oh, you didn't go to Mass Sunday? No more job for you. He had that power. So when he died, people said, later. And for people in Spain, church means Catholic Church. And for people in Spain, Catholic Church means a certain political party. And they're like, no. So we have a big problem because no longer Catholic. And that means they don't care about the Bible. They don't care about God. There is a complete indifference. Years ago, they were. Now, they're not. Over 60% of Spaniards under 30 now identify as having no religion at all. And to me, that's an official number that is high. What we have experienced, of all the people we know, we have two families that we know that actually go to Mass on Sunday. That's it. And we have been there 5.5 years, and we know a lot of people. It's kind of weird. We know a lot of people. Just 2 weeks ago, right before we got here, I'm walking with one of my neighbors, one of the ones I talked to him a lot. I was talking about him this morning, and he said, let's go to the hotel and talk. Well, the hotel was closed. They have a little restaurant. And then he said, let's go to the other one. So we went to the other one. It was closed. So he said, okay, let's go to the bread store. We got to the bread store, and then we bought something, and we started walking. And as all that walk we did was like, I don't know, 3-4 miles, people are honking and saying hi at me. And he said, who's that? Who's that? He's lived there like 10 years more than me. So by the time we're getting close to the house, he says, why do you know everybody? This is the same guy that when we got there, we opened the door and he was there, and he helped me go get to the bank and to do all the things I was telling you this morning. He introduced me to some people, and now he says, you know more people than me. Well, our work right there is to get to know people. Because here's the thing. We're there to share the word of God with people. So if I stay at my house, I'm going to be like maybe a good Bible scholar that knows no people. So you have nothing. So you got to work those two, because you got to share this with this. So all that to say, of all the people we know, nobody cares about Jesus. They don't care about God. They're not really disrespectful. We haven't really engaged into an argument. The word is indifference. They couldn't care less. Like, who cares? That is the spiritual situation in Spain, and that's why we're in Spain, because there is a need. Now, are there other fields where we could go and maybe see some more immediate fruit? Yes. We could have just stayed in Mexico. But we're not there to see the numbers. We're there because there's a need. Right now, we need people to come along us, and this is an invitation. We need people to come along us to break that big piece of concrete on top of everything. God has provided some people that are helping us, but we need more. Because the more people we have, the more we can do. That is the situation in Spain. And not only that, Spain became post-Christian. That means they heard about Jesus, but now they reject him. That was people that are now 50 and older. When they were little, they went to church, especially to Catholic church. Now, they don't. Younger people are no longer post-Christians. They are pre-Christians because they have never heard about Jesus. So we have a problem, but this represents a huge opportunity. This is an open door. The timing is amazing because now the guy I was talking about, he's an atheist, good friend. And I've talked to him many times. But for him to come the day that he opens his Bible and reads it, I don't know what it's going to be. I gave him the Bible. We talked about the gospel. And I pray for him often. But you know what? His kids, they know nothing about God. But it's easier for his kids to come to Jesus. That generation, 25 and under, all those people are pre-Christian. They have never heard about Jesus. Never. So the thing is, like, there's an opportunity. What are we going to do about it? And this is exactly, we bring you back to the passage where we start with. Jesus told them, go and do it. They start doing it. They're crazy, excited because what they just saw. And they have the opposition of the world. But they're doing the work. And it is time for us to start doing the work again. Because this is a new opportunity. We're talking about pre-Christians. They haven't heard anything. But there's another problem, and that is a big problem. It's called the devil. And he doesn't want any of them to hear about Jesus Christ. Amen? He doesn't want that. So that's why there's an urgency. And here's where the church comes in. This is where you and I come in. Now, you and I cannot be in multiple places at the same time. Maybe if we could do that, that would be kind of cool, right? Like, I'm in church at the same time while I'm eating and I'm enjoying beautiful weather in Hawaii. It would be cool. We can't do that. That's why we need people to surrender and say, I will go over there. I will go and help. So as a church, we really have no excuse. You know why? We were commanded to do this. Matthew chapter 28. I know you know it by heart. I know this church is a great church that gets involved in missions. But let me remind you again, Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. The Bible says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And do all this if you want to. Does your Bible say that? It's a command. If you are a believer, this command is for you. We need to get involved in doing this. And this is usually where we can say, well, I'm not a very good speaker. I get nervous in front of people. You know, like, turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. Let me remind you that he gave us a command because he created us to do this. You were made to serve God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, you probably know it by heart, but here it goes. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God. Amen? Amen? Not of works, lest any man should boast. But we hardly ever read the next verse. So pay attention to the next verse. The next verse says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do whatever you want. Does it say that? It says, unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. Those good works, it's a great commission. It has to do with sharing the word of God with the people. Who? Are you saved? Have you trusted in Jesus Christ? I'm guessing most of you have. Then you. You were created by God to serve God. So even if we say, I'm not good speaking, don't worry. Moses wasn't either. Remember Moses? He wasn't good. And God said, don't worry, I got you. And guess what? He has you too. We have a command, and we have no excuse. We were created to do it. But why? Why do we need to do this? Well, there's many, many, many passages. I'm going to give you the basic one. John chapter 14 and verse 6. The Bible says, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. Why do we need to get involved in this? Because there's people out there, Spain and all over the world, that have never heard about Jesus, and they will die. I don't know if you noticed, but we're all gonna die. But without Jesus, they will go to hell. That's why. That's why we need to get involved as a church. And that's why when I read the first passage and I see he'll make it happen, because he's God. And he really doesn't need us. He's given us the opportunity to be part of it. What a privilege. We go to churches and they introduce us like the hero missionaries. We're not. We're blessed to have a little part in what God has called us to do. But you are not different than me. And you can do it as well. Knowing that he will make it happen. So think about it for a second. I'm not inviting you to gamble, okay? But it's just an illustration. If you could gamble with 100% certainty that you would get that $1 million, wouldn't you? Yes, you would. What we're doing here is no gamble. The Bible says that one day, everybody will be doing this. And recognizing that Jesus is Lord. Everybody, amen? Why wouldn't you want to have a part in that? What better purpose could you have in your life than doing what God wants you to do? So here's the thing. The problem that we see nowadays, and I see it clearly in Spain, because I've talked to the people and we talked about these subjects. The problem is not the gospel. Remember, the gospel means good news. The problem are not the good news. The good news are still good news, and they're amazing. The gospel isn't broken. Christianity is not outdated. One of my neighbors says, I like what you're going to do. I'm going to help you because it adds. It doesn't subtract, it adds. So I'm going to help you. But I just want you to see that what you're doing is outdated. Like, you need to grab that Bible, that ancient book, and kind of like update it. That's his point of view. It's not a bad point of view where he's coming from. And he's actually excited to help us. And he has, actually. We did a missionary retreat. And we invited a lot of people. And he helped me. He helped me find the hotel and get the good pricings. And I want to say thank you, because your church sent $1,000. I don't know if you knew that, but your church sent $1,000 for that. And that was a blessing for all the missionaries, but for this guy. It was a blessing to have that missionary retreat and be part of it. You know what? How that helped us with them? It gave us credibility. That we're not just a random family there trying to do something crazy, but that there's something big behind it. So I said, Jose, Christianity is not outdated. The Bible doesn't need an update. That's right. It is relevant. And he just goes, oh, yeah, whatever. But guess what? He still knocks the door at my house and comes in and say, hey, I want a coffee. Let's talk. God is drawing him little by little. So the gospel isn't broken. Christianity is not outdated. So why are so many people rejecting it? And so I want to present to you today that the problem is right here, us. Many of us as Christians, we're not showing others the original version of Christianity. We have some twisted version where we add this, 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 and that, plus our sins, and we make a big mess. And people out there see it, and it's like, I don't want that. As an illustration, I won't give names, but I'm ashamed to say this, that I have neighbors that are non-believers that treat their wives way better than many Christians I know. And that is shameful. So they see other stuff and they say, why would I want to be part of that? This same guy asked me one time, okay. And he went on like to question and question and question. He said, I have another question. Don't get offended. I said, okay. He says, are you a cult? That's what they are afraid of. So like, I like you. I like your family. I like what you're doing. I like your kids. I like how they behave. But I don't want to be part of a cult. Right. Now you go to Netflix and you can find a lot of documentaries about cults. Yeah. And it wouldn't be bad for all of us to watch them to see if we do some kind of cultish things that transmit some, and maybe with good intentions, but that's what they're seeing and say, I don't want to be part of that. You know, all of that is not the original version. The problem is not the gospel. The problem is stuff we do. Jesus' message still works. It always has, and it always will. But the version many of us transmit today has been distorted. It misrepresents what Jesus is, and that creates a problem. It's not as effective as it should be because it is not the real thing. So people are not rejecting Jesus Christ. That's what we have found in Spain. They're rejecting religion. I think the same is happening in the States, but the States, it's maybe 10, 20 years behind. But if we don't make the change of really acting like Christians, notice what I said. I didn't say Baptist. I'm Baptist all the way. But I didn't say Baptist. I said like Christians. We will run into the same problem in a few years. They're not rejecting Jesus. They say, I have no problem with Jesus. He was amazing. And then I say, have you ever read about Jesus in the Bible? No. I said, you should read it. You said you like him. Read him. And we try every single way we can to get them to read the Bible so God can speak to them. So what's the solution? We don't need new marketing. It's cool. If you have great marketing, great. But we don't need it. We don't need a new church branding. If you can get it, awesome. But that won't solve the problem. We don't need to make the gospel cool. It is cool already. It is the best. What we need is very simple. We need to live the gospel. And it goes back to the very basics. You know, Jesus said, I give you a new command. And he didn't say deep doctrinal things. He said, love your neighbor. Amen? Amen. So that's what we're working on. We're loving our neighbors. And every single opportunity we have, we're telling them about Jesus. But here's the thing. They're not my project. They're not a number to check so I can send to battlefield. One save. Yeah. No. I want them to hear about Jesus Christ because I love them. Amen. Yeah. Because if they don't hear about Jesus Christ, they'll never make a decision for Christ. And when they die, they will go to hell. And I don't want that. I want them to be saved. But they have this big wall that needs to come down. They will not listen to me just because I say, I am a pastor. They're like, who cares? The Bible says, they're going to say, who cares? And they're not being disrespectful. They really don't care. So the thing is, the first years, we don't tell them about Jesus. We show them Jesus. So they can start asking about Jesus, and then we tell them about Jesus. What if we do the same here? Imagine. So go back to the beginning when the disciples started spreading the gospel. It grew like crazy. The original version. We can do the same. But you know what? What if all of us do it? Sometimes we think that the church work, it's the pastor. Oh, and he has a staff. They can do it. Are you a believer? You're included. But it's very hard to live as a Christian, as a real Christian, if you don't spend time with God. Because when we try to do that, then we're doing the same. It's a fake version. And eventually it comes out. And they see it, and they said, I knew it. I don't want part of that. So what if, as Christians, as believers, we start working in our sanctification? Going to church is amazing. Participating in church is great. Giving an offering is great. In a few minutes, we're going to do the Lord's Supper. Amazing. But what if we focus for a year in sanctification? What is that? Stepping away from sin and getting closer to God. Both things, not just one. Not just leaving behind the sin and just staying there, but actually getting closer to God. Imagine the difference. We need to live the gospel. And then the other thing we're trying to do in Spain is understanding the power of a team. If I can make a big hole in the concrete by myself in 5 years, imagine what 10 more family members could do. And we're praying for more teammates. I show in the video in the morning. You guys have the video. You can show it whenever you want. God has sent the Anderson family. They're learning Spanish. They're helping us. God is sending the Gaona family. We met when we were very young in Mexico. I was their youth pastor. Then they planted church in San Luis Potosí, Mexico. They are working in Owasso, Oklahoma. They raise their funds, and please pray for them. They're doing their paperwork right now to be in Spain in the next couple months. We need them. Part of the team. More people breaking the rock. And they're amazing with music, and I stink with music. But then I told you guys about the church in Mexico, how when we left, we ordained 3 guys. Well, one of them has always felt a call to missions, and in 2 months, he's moving to Spain with his family to be part of our team. His name is Pepe. Pray for Pepe. Now, this is going to sound crazy, but Pepe and his wife decided the Lord is calling to Spain. We're going to go join you guys. He also has a background of engineering. He left that to work in the church in Mexico, and he gets paid by the church. He's leaving the church in Mexico. He's moving to Spain, where there's no church yet, and he has $0 a month for support. He raised some money, and he bought the plane tickets. They are arriving August 4th to Santander. 3-year-old, yesterday she turned 3, and the other one is 6 months old. Talk about faith. And you know what? He's going to be okay. Because God will provide. God will send funds. We were in a church last week and somebody said, I'm going to send $1,000 for Pepe. And then the next day, it was in my account. He said, for Pepe, for taking the faith to join the work of God in Spain. And you know what? He will be okay. But that's an example of taking a step of faith, saying, I will do whatever it takes and obey the Lord. You know what? That's going to be an example for the people in Spain. Because they already know Pepe. He has been there twice. My neighbor said, we will help him find a job. Yeah. My unsaved neighbors are excited about the church we're going to start. They're excited about the team. God is doing his thing. And that's how we're going to reach Spain for Christ. What do we got to do? We got to start. We got to pray intentionally. We got to be example to that people. We got to build a team. We got to get involved. And we got to commit to an action. We're leading with the example. That's our part. Now your part. God will do his part. Amen? He will make it happen. It is his church. He will make it happen. But today I want to challenge you to do the same here. God will do his part. Will you do your part? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. I'm going to pray and then give it to Pastor. Dear God, thank you so much. You're so amazing. Thank you so much for allowing us to have a little part of your work. In our case, in Spain. Thank you for this amazing church here in Virginia that has faithfully throughout the years been a light to this community and has been involved in missions to send the light all over the world. God, I know this church is amazing, but I also know that not everybody in this church is participating in serving you. And it would be amazing if you would speak to their hearts right now for them to commit to you, God, to have a part in reaching the world for Christ, to get involved in missions. And not only that, I know, God, that there's somebody here that might be feeling the call to the mission field, that you would speak to their hearts, that you would use any example, including Pepe's example, that there is no excuse because we have a command, because there is a need, and because we need to have faith. It makes no sense that we have faith in you for our eternity destination, meaning we believe that we trust in God and we will go to heaven for eternity. It makes no sense that we believe in that, but we don't have enough faith to trust in our location. It doesn't matter where I live. I want to be where God wants me to live, and he will take care of the details. God, please help this congregation take a step further, because you will do your part, that they will do their part. I pray for all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Adolfo. Listen, church, would you please stand with me as we prepare just to enter into a brief moment of invitation? We'll not belabor this time at all, but listen, we've heard a great challenge from the Word of God. If God's in it, what's holding you back? I can't think of any other investment that we can make with our time, with our lives, and even with our money that's 100% guaranteed, but then investing in the work of God and in the Word of God. And so if he's in it, church, what's really holding you back? If you're here this morning, you don't know the Lord, you've never entered into a relationship, I want to challenge you now, what's holding you back? All right, the Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It goes on to tell us that there's a wage, there's a payment for that sin, and it says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The Bible goes on to tell us that if we would believe in our heart and confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, we can be saved. It literally goes on to say just a few verses later, whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And so if you've never called upon the name of the Lord for the forgiveness of your sins today, hey, why not? What's holding you back? I want to challenge you during this moment of invitation. If you don't know the Lord, call upon him. Call upon the Lord. If you've never prayed, you said, man, I need some help. I've never prayed. I don't even know where to begin. You just step out of your pew. You step out of your pew. I'll be down here with my Bible. There's some other folks down here as well working kind of the altar, so to speak. And we'd love to take the Word of God and show you how you can know for sure that you can leave this place with a home in heaven. So if God's in it, church, what is it that's holding you back? I would challenge you to do business with the Lord. If the Lord's working on your heart, calling you to do more for Him, don't put it off. I tried to do that. In my experience, this is going to make for a miserable life. Would you do business with the Lord? Church, I'm going to pray, and then we'll enter into a moment of invitation. Father, thank you so much for this challenge that we've heard this morning. Thank you for how you've been working and moving, orchestrating everything together in Spain. God, we're excited for what you're about ready to do there. We're excited for what you've been doing here on the hill. Excited for the ones that have been coming to know you, God. It's just such a blessing to have a small piece in what you're doing, your work. Father, we pray that you continue to work through this invitation. Work and move in our hearts in a way that only you can. Father, if there's someone that's on the fence, draw them unto you now through this moment. We pray this in your name. Amen.